excited would you be if you could bring more prospects to the table, had more users who clicked, and had more customers who bought? Stay tuned. Strategy Talks is up next. Here we go.
Let's strategize together. Let's hear it from an expert. Join the conversation, it's informative and free. You and me, let's talk some strategy. Now here's your host, Doreen Morin Van Dam.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Strategy Talks. I am so excited that you're here. If you're watching us live today, put in the comments that you're here and where you're watching us from, whether you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, or maybe you're on YouTube. If you're watching this as a replay, I invite you to put hashtag replay in the comments so that myself and my guest today can answer any questions you may have. And last but not least, if you're listening to Strategy Talks as a podcast, welcome. Welcome to you as well. Without much further ado, you know the drill. I'm going to pull onto stage with me today. Today's guest, it's Kate DeLeo. We're going to talk about brand messaging structures. How are you today, Kate?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. It's so fun to talk. We met in person.
Yes.
And I love to go to conferences, meet some special people, and then invite them onto my podcast. We met last year in November. And so we're well into quarter two, and we're finally having this conversation together.
I know. I'm thrilled to be here and to talk about branding and marketing today.
Yeah. So let's just start at the beginning. How long have you been in branding? Why do you love it so much? And then we'll go into the rest of the questions.
Sure, absolutely. So I've been in branding for more than 10 years now. And really, I fell into the world of brand messaging specifically as kind of a byproduct of my career earlier on in sales and marketing. And it was in sales and marketing that I recognized the power of having a brand message, aka a brand pitch, that deeply resonated with my target audiences and really compelled them to want to take the next step and buy. And so essentially, fast forward, I ended up getting asked to build brands both for my organization while working in corporate America, and then began to side hustle. And now have turned that into a full-time business as a teacher and speaker and consultant, teaching organizations, how do you build brand messages that convert?
That's awesome. Now, your company is called Trifecta. Is that right?
Brand Trifecta. And yes.
So I am assuming there's going to be three core elements to brand messaging, right?
That's right. Yeah. I teach a very simple formulaic approach to brand messaging because, and by the way, I think we should just call out the fact that when we hear that term brand, it sounds very woo-woo, doesn't it? It sounds very like, oh, it's so creative. But I think for the purpose of today's talk, what we're really talking about here is the messaging side of branding. And I teach a method that focuses on three key elements, including your tagline, value proposition statement, and differentiator statements that ultimately create a brand conversation that converts.
All right. So let's dive into each one of those. The first one you said was a tagline.
That's right.
Who comes up with it? What do we need to
know? Who comes up with it? I love this question. First of all, my fellow brand enthusiast, marketing cannot write the brand in a box by themselves. So I'm going to say that again. We cannot, as marketers, write the brand by ourselves. In order to build a brand that deeply resonates internally for all stakeholders, but then externally, we have got to have C-suite leadership and we have got to have sales in the room when building a brand message. And yes, believe it or not, that means they better be a part of how we write a tagline or a value proposition statement.
It's amazing. You've been in the business for over 10 years. So yeah. Have I. We have seen people make the same mistake over and over, right? People, mm-hmm. and some of that comes from leadership who assumes that the people that are putting in the work understand and know what's happening mm-hmm. and with the brand. Maybe they've given them a slide deck, right? And here you go. Welcome to the company. But we really need to have this conversation a lot and frequently. And whoever comes into the company and whoever is going to represent you, whether they're in sales or in marketing, need to understand this. So I love that you said that. So tagline, C-suite needs to be involved. Everybody, you know, sales, marketing, everybody. How do you develop something like that? What's next?
Well, essentially, let's go through each one of these three pieces because tagline's at the tip top of the hierarchy. And by the way, today as we're talking about this brand trifecta concept, which is tagline, value proposition statement, differentiator statements, I want us to think about it as a formula. A plus B plus C equals conversion moment for your prospects and customers. And you can't move without any of those three things. You can't reverse the order. You can't start with differentiators, then a tagline. You can't skip one of them. What I'm teaching is based on basic buyer psychology that says at the end of the day, our consumers need to understand three powerful things in the first 30 seconds to be compelled to opt in, to take the next step, AKA convert. And those three things are, tell me what you do. That's your tagline, followed by tell me how you solve my problems. That's a value proposition statement, followed by tell me how you are different and better than the competition, differentiator statements. And it's only when these three pieces of information clear the noise in somebody's mind that they have this moment, Doreen, where they go, oh my gosh, that makes sense. Now I understand. Now tell me how it works and what's included and what's the price, et cetera.
Right. That's really good. So so I love that. I'm thinking about, I've done some research on value propositions and I was looking at taglines and I did some research and there's some fun ones out there, right?
Yes.
That people have used and I don't know if they're, so actually that's my question. What's the difference between a tagline and a value proposition? You kind of said one mm-hmm. tells you what you do and the other one, what problem you solve, right?
Yeah. So they work in tandem. So a tagline is actually that top five or six words, sometimes called a slogan, but really a tagline is five or six words. That is the first line of defense in any message for your organization. Imagine heading the homepage of the website. The first thing you should see is the tagline, and it speaks to the promise of what you do. Now, I'll tell you, this is so fascinating. Taglines can differ if you are a B2B brand selling to businesses or B2C selling to consumers. For example, somebody asked me, well, why is it that, you know, L'Oreal and these consumer products or Nike or all Apple can have these taglines that are very just like, just do it. You're worth it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and there doesn't really answer this question of what do you do? Okay. Here's a tip. If you sell to businesses, your tagline in five or six words should first answer the question, what do you do? Because that is the first question that a business would want to know about you.
Right.
Why they should purchase from you. Whereas if you sell to a consumer, you sell a product to a consumer, they don't necessarily want to know what you do first. What they want to know first and foremost is tell me who I will be or the experience I will have when I have your product in my hand. And this is actually why taglines for consumer products can speak to that type of a promise and they can be a lot more creative than a B2B brand. But that tagline, what you do, that's the first thing.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. One of the ones that came out, and I know that if you're listening or watching this, you've heard this, is if I say the tagline, you'll know what brand it is. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Correct.
Right? You know which one that is. It's one that's been used and that tells you the problem that gets solved, right? Because that's what happens all the time. If you have candy in your hand, you know, it melts, but M&M's promises not to do that. So, so let's go to the second one, the value proposition. How does somebody and I'm assuming that for all three of these, the whole team needs to be involved, right?
That's
not just marketing department, sales, C-suite, everybody. How do you come up with a value proposition? Does it need to be witty? Does it need to be memorable? Does it need to be funny? Or does it really, is it really about the message?
Oh my gosh. So there's a few layers to this question. So let's dig in. So the first thing to know about a value proposition statement is, yes, value proposition statements can stand on their own typically much more than like a tagline could. Because at the end of the day, a value proposition statement is directly saying, here's the problem you're facing. Now here's how you can solve that problem with our products or services or goods, right? Now, traditionally, what we want to understand is that if we think about that order of operations again, a great value proposition statement expounds on the tagline, meaning it almost addresses the question, if somebody were to hear or see your tagline of what you do or the promise you offer, and they go, interesting, what do you mean by that? A great value proposition statement says, well, here's what we mean by that. Boom. Here's the problem you're facing, and here's how you can solve that problem. So it really is expanding on the tagline and giving more clarity to your tagline. Now, the second piece that you asked me, though, is it witty? Is it just about the message itself? I think brand in general, the first rule of thumb is to make sure it sounds and seems like you as an organization. And so if you are a very serious organization, you're going to have a very serious brand. You don't need to be witty. Now, if your brand has quite a sense of humor or you're very bold and boisterous, I would expect that your brand message should also feel like that. It's just important to remember, first and foremost, that a brand's tone of voice, how a brand shows up, it's about sounding like you today. It's not aspirational. Brand is not aspirational. You're never creating a brand for who you think you need to be or who you want to be in 10 years or what you think your consumers want to hear. No, that's the brand for who you are.
I was going to say that if you want to write that piece, that's in the, what do you call that? The, I just lost my train of thought. That's in the mission and the vision statement. In the vision statement, you put in who you want to be and how you Correct. Want to be perceived. That's a different part to this branding exercise. Okay. So value proposition. If I say a diamond is forever, is that a value proposition?
That's a tagline.
That's the beers. That's a tagline. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Because it doesn't tell you.
Doesn't tell me the problem I have.
Right.
So a great value proposition. Let me give you a silly example
yes.
of how these work together.
Yep.
Let's say I run a tax company and I serve small businesses. Very busy founders who wear a lot of hats. They know that taxes are important, but oh my gosh, they don't have time to figure it out, right?
Yep.
You're like, this sounds familiar. Okay. So imagine you and I meet and we walk into the room together. What's the first thing you're going to ask me?
What's your name?
I say, my name's Kate. And then what are you going to ask me?
What do you do? How can you help me?
What do you do? So I'm going to serve up my tagline, which instead of just saying, I do B2B taxes, I do taxes for businesses, like, who cares? Instead, I might say something like, well, I help make compliance effortless for small businesses. Mm. Now, by the way, if you were to write that tagline, it would just be three words, making compliance effortless. Now, I saw your eyebrows go up. That's a great tagline if it compels a little bit of provocation. It's getting a little bit of an emotional response.
It did.
So I'll serve up number two, because you may say, well, that's interesting. What do you mean by that, Kate? I'm curious. And then I'm going to serve up my value proposition statement. And I'll say, well, Doreen, the reality is tax is a major priority for your business, but it should not be a major part of your day. And so I'm here to help you protect your credibility, relationships, and your profits with worry-free tax consulting. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Now I'm really paying attention. Don't we all need that?
But do you see how the value proposition statement expanded on what I meant by making compliance effortless?
Yes. Yeah. Because you didn't mention the word taxes, right? Initially.
I didn't need to. I can say that in my value proposition statement, but the thing that was important for me to understand was the psychology of my buyer. They're busy. They don't have time for this. They know it's important. They can't mess up with their taxes, but gosh, they can't manage it on their own either.
And they don't want to spend all day doing it. That's the part I heard. You don't want to spend all day doing that. So I get it. If you're watching, listening, give us a thumbs up if you get it too. What's the third piece?
Differentiator statements. Now, some people call this your three uniques, but what we're really talking about is the three or four or five big bullet points of how you are different and better than the competition. Yes, your competition. In other words, this is the moment where a potential buyer is thinking to themselves, wow, I just heard Kate's amazing tagline and promise of the problem she solves for me. And wow, this sounds compelling, but is this like TurboTax or H&R Block? I mean, I thought they kind of do the same thing. We can't forget that at this moment in looking or hearing somebody's brand, we're going to naturally have a comparison moment where we're going to compare a brand to the competition to make sense of it. And so by just simply stating at a macro level, here's how I'm different. I do this. It could be speed. It could be agility. It could be a proprietary approach, educational focus, things of that nature that allow you to say, no. If we were to compare, I'm different and yes, better. That's differentiator statements.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. Do you have an example of that for us to think
about? Let's give that tax example.
Okay.
They give it, you know, in this brand, we may say something like, we're sprinters. We get to the bottom of it quickly and we'll respond in less than 24 hours to any of your tax questions. Well, that's different. Have you ever tried emailing a tax person?
Yes.
And 5 days later or a week later, and you don't even know. I mean, you're just, okay, maybe it's, you know, we're analysts. We're going to investigate everything to get, ask any question, big or small that you have, we're going to get to the bottom of it. So some of these things along those lines, you can state it in a way that perks somebody's interest and go, interesting. You're a sprinter. You're an investigator. That does not sound like the promise of H&R Block. That sounds different. Refreshing.
Right. That's really good. So now we have these three core elements. Mm-hmm. How does it tie in with the rest of your content that you're creating, Kate?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay. So if we rewind for a second, I think I mentioned this at the beginning. This concept of a brand structure or brand trifecta message, tagline, value proposition statement, differentiator statements. I want us to remember that this is almost like the tip top of our content hierarchy. Okay. So in other words, I would never say to a marketer or to a leader, oh, sure, forget your blogs and your white papers and your eBooks and your explainer videos. No. All of that's important, relevant information because buyers still need to understand a level of detail, don't they? Before making a purchasing decision. Yeah. What we're really saying here is that the brand trifecta at the tip top, when you first serve that up, is what brings a prospect to an opt-in moment where they now understand and they are selecting to go deeper. In fact, more often than not, what we see is that by serving up your brand trifecta, it's a natural line into features and benefits information about your products and services. Yep. Maybe it's information about your proprietary approach to the work that you do, because logically that's what they'd want to know next.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. I have a follow-up question on this. I'm just thinking about all of this, right? I've worked with a lot of businesses in the last 13 years. And if you're watching and listening, you probably have as well. If you're a marketer or you're a small business owner, and you might be sitting here going, I don't have any of those things that Kate just mentioned. So my question is, it's completely a side question, but when the heck do we create this? Is it too late if we're already marketing, if we're already selling, if we already have a website, if we have been in business for 3 years or 5 years, is it ever too late to get these things ready?
Of course not. You know, the thing is that what you've done so far has gotten you here. But now it's a decision point where you go, I know that I want to accelerate revenue growth, or gosh, I'm sensing that I've got some pains. My sales cycle is really long, or I'm saying different things to different people and I'm guessing and testing and it's not always resonating. And okay, so those are sometimes some great symptoms that we need to be aware of to say, in order to more surgically drive growth, now's your time then to build a brand trifecta message that's geared for your ideal target audiences and allows you to more systematically speak to them in a way that it creates the, oh my gosh, you get me moment with your buyers. So instead of Doreen feeling that we're ripping out and replacing who we've been, it's more like a quarter turn or a tightening of the bolt of your message by putting a brand trifecta in place. It's going to get people there faster for you.
All right. That's really, so it doesn't matter. Even if somebody's listening and they're like, oh my God, Kate, you're speaking to me. I don't have this yet, but I want this. It's never too late.
Just never too late.
All right. So next question is, so now you've told us to do this. What if somebody's listening, somebody's watching, and they have multiple services, multiple products? Maybe they've branched out and have, you know, several different things that they're doing. Maybe they're an agency and they're doing SEO, but they're also doing social media and they're doing different things. Or maybe they're a company, they're a restaurant, but they also do catering. And how does this brand messaging, how does it still align? Or what do we have to switch or turn or do different if we have multiple offerings?
It's a great question. It's a very common question, because I'm sure that you might feel as well that we may have multiple target audiences we're speaking to, right, that have very different needs, or we may sell multiple offerings that solve a particular problem, right? Okay. So what I want us to remember is that this is a formulaic approach. Now, here's what's great is you can create what's called a layered brand architecture that includes multiple layers of brand trifectas that work together, top down, bottom up. So for example, I've worked with companies that, like a SaaS company, they were a startup, but their product, they needed buy-in from the CEO, the head of marketing, the head of sales, and believe it or not, the head of finance. They had four. And so for the SaaS product, what we did is we built what we call the top level brand trifecta, what I consider your homepage language, that spoke to everybody and compelled them to go deeper. And then what we did is we segmented out a page per audience. And on each of those pages, we had a secondary brand trifecta that spoke to, this is what we do for you as the CEO and how we solve your problem and how we're different for you. And we built supporting brand trifectas that resonated at a heart level with each of those audiences. The same rule applies if you have multiple offerings, same type of thing. It could be sector-based, it could be product-based, service-based. You can start with the top level and then go down to, for example, audience level, and then even product or service level. The most that I've done is probably about 15 brand trifectas for a company.
Oh.
Yeah, and you can go much further. You can go much further. Enterprise level clients, I've got one right now, and it's, many, many more than that we'll have at the end of it. But I think the thing is for most small businesses, start at the top, and then believe it or not, typically one layer down is enough, whether it's audience-based or product or service based. If each group has a different problem you're solving, that's your cue that you would want to have a specific brand trifecta for each of those.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So is there any testing that needs to be done when you're developing this? Is this an internal thing that you do, or do you put out multiple taglines, multiple value propositions? Who gets to decide? And this is just a question, if somebody is trying to think, oh, I'm going to do this myself. I listened to Doreen and Kate, and this looks interesting. Do you test that? Do you put it out to the world? Do you have your own little group of people that you send an email to? Like, what's the process like? Because now I'm curious.
Well, I've seen a blend of processes, but I'll tell you what I think works. First and foremost, in order to write this message and really make sure it lands internally, just as I said before, you need C-suite leadership, you need sales and marketing in the room. Or for example, if you are product-led, you might have your head of product in a couple of those sessions as well. Sure. An average program that I do, just to give you context, if I'm building a brand trifecta, we might do 6 or 7 90-minute calls to come out the other end with everything built.
Wow.
And on the beginnings, I may have, you know, my CEO or founder plus head of sales and marketing and maybe the head of product. And we're doing some analysis around core features of things that we think are important, core problems that we think we solve, and even target audiences. Who's really our ideal buyer and why? And what's the demographics and the psychographics of those people? Now, perhaps the head of product does not want to be in the room for wordsmithing a tagline from here until kingdom come. So they may hop out and come back at the end, knowing that their voice was heard and leveraged. Sure. And so we would do a report out session. If you're a smaller team though, you may have everybody involved in those writing sessions to actually get to the end of it. The analysis on the front end is more important to understand how we capture the essence of why we're in business and what we solve for and who we serve. And then if so, on the back end, to then test the message, you can put that in front of 10 to 20 trusted advisors through an email to see if it resonates. And then once you put it out to the world, you need to let your message sit for 60 to 90 days, believe it or not. It is so easy to try to test multiple taglines and A/B test, but there is a point, Doreen, where you have to make a decision and you've got to let it sit before you start testing anything or changing things up. And on average, it's 60 to 90 days for us to see a pattern if it's working or not.
Okay. That's really great advice, because that's really where I was getting at. It's like, okay, so when you're testing something, do you want to test two or three things at a time? But you're saying make the decision, work internally, get it out, and then use that message for 60 to 90 days and then analyze to see how it landed and all of that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's right.
I think that's sound advice, right? So we're almost at the end, but I have kind of a side question.
Yes.
If somebody is a one-person business and they're doing this exercise, is that something that they then can use as like an elevator pitch? Like
totally.
When somebody meets them?
Every single one of my clients, no matter the size, leverage their brand trifecta as their elevator pitch. And I actually write it out in bullet point format for them.
Okay.
So they imagine that you're training themselves. If somebody asks you, what do you do? Really, what do you mean by that? How are you different or better than the company? They know those responses. So for all of the sales teams or solopreneurs or founders out there, founder-led sales, if you're listening to this, yes, your brand trifecta is really your simple set of bullet points, your talk script in a pitch format. It's so easy. It's so powerful for you to feel like you can hit on these things in those 30 seconds or less. 30 seconds or less. And all of a sudden, you got somebody on the other end of that conversation that goes, this is really interesting and I would love to chat more with you about this. And that's the purpose, is you've got them, they've opted in, and you can get them into that next level conversation to go deeper.
That's awesome. So you can use it both for marketing, to
Absolutely.
Market yourself, but also for sales. When
Absolutely.
You're so that's
in fact, it's got to be for both.
For
Same
both.
Thing. It's okay. The glue. You have to have everybody running off the same messaging playbook. I train sales teams right and left, and when they're all working off the same brand trifecta messaging, a beautiful thing starts to happen where there's alignment between the activities that marketing is doing and then feedback loops with sales going, hey, when you sent that email out, we got a really great response rate. And by the way, we were talking to this differentiator, and that one should be number one on our list, because whenever I say that in a conversation, Bob, oh my gosh, do people's eyes light up. Your brand trifecta is your glue that aligns sales and marketing.
Wonderful. That's great. This is a great place to end. This conversation was very enlightening. I don't know about you, if you're watching or listening, I learned a bunch of new stuff, even though I sort of knew that you needed to have these things in place. I've never heard it explained this way. So Kate, I really appreciate it. If somebody were listening, they want to hire you for their company, or they want to work with you, or they want to just get to know you better, want to learn from you, where are you most active on social media and how can people connect with you?
I'm most active on LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn and you see this and you're listening, find me, connect with me, message me. I would love to hear from you. I, of course, answer all of those messages personally. Would love to know what's going on in your world and how I could help. And the other place that you can certainly take a look is my website, www.katedeleo.com. Both from a standpoint of my book and consulting, but also I run a series of revenue acceleration events that might be up your alley if you are looking to build this brand trifecta and turn it around in only 3 days.
Wow. All right. So you're going to give me the link. I'll put that in the show notes. If you're listening to this, try find the link in the show notes and in the comments as well. I'll make sure that they go out. Kate, thank you so much for coming today and providing immense value to my audience. I really enjoyed having you. Of course, those of you who were here with us live, thank you so much. All the way to the end, you stayed. I really appreciate you. I'll be back next week with another episode of Strategy Talks. Bye, everybody.